These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Say that more slowly because I'm stupid.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Simple question, though, to begin the hour, Maz. You ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Have the Pats gotten better or worse this offseason?
Worse.
You know that many people who cover the team would disagree with that notion.
Yes, and I would tell them that they're on drugs. Like they have no clue. So again, I just look at it. I said this to you the other day when we were talking about the personnel additions and subtractions. Who would you rather have, Danny Amendola or Cordarrelle Patterson?
I'd rather have Amendola.
Okay, who would you rather have, Jeremy Hill or Deion Lewis?
Lewis.
Who would you rather have?
But it really, it's that's not dramatic.
Okay, who would you rather have, Nate Solder or nobody?
That's dramatic.
Okay, Jason McCourty or Malcolm Butler?
Butler.
Okay, so I go across the board and say they didn't improve at any of those spots.
Okay,
but proceed.
For example, Ben Volen writes the other day in the Boston Globe that the defense has quietly gotten better. Super Bowl 52 proved that the defense needed better depth across the board. And while the Patriots haven't added any big-name players like Tyrann Mathieu or Sheldon Richardson, the defense looks a lot better with their free agent additions and the return of a few injured players. He says the line still doesn't have a pure pass rusher, but the depth is much improved. Trey Flowers, Claiborne, who they signed, Adrian Claiborne out of Atlanta, and Dietrich Wise at end. Yeah, Malcolm Brown inside with Danny Shelton, who they traded with Cleveland, and Vincent Valentine up the middle. Vincent Valentine?
Yeah, Vincent Valentine, yeah. So again, we're just because we're naming people, we're listing names.
Okay, and Lawrence Guy playing everywhere. He says that linebacker Kyle Van Noy will still run the defense, but Derek Rivers and Dante Hightower will be back to supplement the pass rush. Derek Rivers? So wait a minute. I think I know what you're driving at here as I'm reading this. He says Hightower's return should also move Alandon Roberts back to a reserve role. The Patriots probably have one move left at linebacker, but they haven't bitten on any of the free agents such as Zach Brown or Preston Brown. It might be or might come high in the draft, their move at linebacker. He says Jason McCourty should solidify the secondary. He says a secondary of Gilmore, McCourty, Eric Rowe, Jonathan Jones, Devin McCourty, Patrick Chung, and Daron Harmon can definitely get the Patriots back to a Super Bowl. And I'm not ready to count out former second-round pick Cyrus Jones, who tore his ACL last year.
Oh, come on.
Okay, so your thoughts. Go ahead.
Okay, so go ahead, Murray. You go.
No, just don't add Cyrus. Shoot Cyrus Jones into the sun, please. That was a wasted pick. You blew it with that guy. He's a fumble waiting to happen. As a return man as well, and I certainly don't want him in the secondary. No thanks.
Go ahead.
So the
Jones.
Jason McCourty one in particular is completely driving me out of my mind. It's driving me crazy because we all know the player because he's Devin McCourty's twin brother. Can he play?
I don't know anymore.
I don't know either.
He used to be a nice player.
He used to be able to play. Can he still? This is his third team in 3 years. He's played for Tennessee and Cleveland the last 2 years, and at corner, he's making $3 million. At corner. So how good can he be if he just signed a 2-year deal with Cleveland to make $3 million a year at corner?
Did you happen to look up his efficiency ratings?
I did not.
Where he is in the Pro Football Focus?
I couldn't find him.
Yeah.
My subscription lapsed out.
And like me, you're too cheap to renew.
No, I'm on a Pro Football Focus embargo. But I'll tell you a different...
Oh, they banned you?
No. They didn't ban me. I banned them.
Okay.
But that's a different story for
a different day. Tell me now. Why did you
no,
why did
no,
you
I'll
ban
tell you
me?
Later.
Oh, fine.
I'll tell you later. I don't want to pay the subscription fee, and it's a long story.
You got into a beef with the Pro Football, with the nerds at Pro Football Focus?
Not really a beef.
You got into a beef with the nerds?
I would say it's more of a negotiation.
Did they chuck their pencils at you or something?
No, but you're
negotiating with the nerds at Pro Football Focus.
In order for us to be able to use their material, you got to pay a quote-unquote publishing fee.
Well, expense it.
I don't think I'm going to get away with this one. I think it's a big number for what they want. And I'm not going to play ball. I'm not doing it.
Wait, just real quick. So the regular person pays a lower fee than what you'd have to pay because of the show?
And then you're not allowed to say it on the air?
Well, so if I just use a fan subscription, but then I say it on the air, I think that constitutes publishing. I'm trying to get an answer to this question. But that's another.
Oh,
again,
that's annoying. The hell.
Okay.
Them.
So anyway, a million of you people are subscribed to Pro Football Focus. Would you tell me Jason McCourty's where he ranks among corners in the NFL. Please.
So
tweet us or whatever. Get it to us. You know how to get it to us. I want to know where Malcolm Butler ranked last year. I want to know where Jason McCourty ranked last year at corner, according to the Pro Football Focus efficiency ratings, and whether McCourty is an upgrade or a downgrade from Malcolm Butler, according to the nerds. I want
to
know.
Okay, so let me put this to you in terms that, to me, crystallize it a little bit. If Malcolm Butler had played in the Super Bowl and the Patriots had won, would we be sitting here saying Jason McCourty is a better option than Malcolm Butler?
Hell to the no.
No chance. No chance. Not in a million years. So why is everybody assuming that Jason McCourty can just jump into the secondary and play? Maybe he can. Listen, I hope so too. I'm not going to sit here and give them the benefit of the doubt now. And I'm not giving Shelton the benefit of the doubt either. They don't have a left tackle. So, like, I look at all these acquisitions and I say, how do I know these guys can come in and do what the guys they had when the guys they had before couldn't do it and I thought they were going to do it too? Now, Claiborne, I like the idea. I like the idea of having someone out there who, even if he can replicate what Chris Long gave them, might allow Flowers to be a better player. Great. I get the logic. Can he do it? Because 70% of his production, at least in terms of sacks, came in one game against a backup tackle.
So you're right, though. I mean, so again, Volan's premise is that the defense quietly got better. He lists all the guys coming back next year, either off of injury or who they have next year. But again, on the defensive line, he includes Vincent Valentine. What does that mean to me?
Nothing. And I'm not sure Danny Shelton means anything yet.
Right. It's given their track record at that position the last couple of years, it's a 50-50 proposition. Might be a really nice player like Andre Carter or, Jabal Sheard for a time, or Alan Branch when they first brought him here. Like, they made some really nice moves on the D-line, but they have some colossal busts. Coney Ealy, Sean Ellis. When they brought Alan Branch back, he turned into a total bum. So there's like a 50-50 shot there on the D-line. I don't know what Danny Shelton could be. But again, at linebacker, he said, well, they have Van Noy coming back.
Right. Still, yeah, great. He's part of the problem. He's not part of the solution.
And Derek Rivers and Dont'a Hightower. He puts Derek Rivers and Dont'a Hightower in the same breath of coming back and helping to augment the pass rush.
Right. So that's
what the hell is Derek Rivers?
I have no idea.
Nobody knows because he got hurt before the season.
No idea. And look, Hightower, of course Hightower's a good player. Yes, I'm happy he's coming back. But I don't look at that as them making a move to improve the team. To me, that's sort of misleading. I look at it, again, the fact that they've gone out and acquired players, to me means they've added bodies. Can the bodies play? Why are we assuming that all these guys can play and we'll give them what they want?
Greg Bedard co-signs with Ben Volan, says they've improved. His headline the other day on Boston Sports Journal, Patriots have done well to address needs this offseason, pending left tackle. Pending left tackle, which he admits is still a pretty big hole. His conclusion, Patriots are better, pending left tackle. Assuming health, he says the Patriots will be better on first down defensively, thanks to Shelton.
Okay, so that might be true, but again, I need to see it.
Which will improve third down. He says Claiborne and his pass rush ability as a bookend to Flowers and or an interior presence in passing situations should also improve the overall defense, along with the addition of McCourty at corner.
What was that word that began with SH? Should. Oh, it should improve the defense. Should.
He says, offensively, the Patriots will find another running back, perhaps one that will actually be featured in the biggest games, meaning Lewis was shut out in the Super Bowl. He says, and they won't have Amendola to fall back on, but the Patriots, if healthy, are always one of the best offenses in the league, thanks to the presence of Tom Brady. Plus, Cordero Patterson brings a punch to kick returns. Oh, neat. He says, there's certainly more to be done at left tackle and linebacker, and we need to see the finished product at those spots. But the Patriots have done well to improve there are few weak areas to this point. Ultimately, the names they've acquired to this point might not be familiar or flashy, but their offseason has been fruitful.
See, I can't go there. I can't go there yet. I don't know if these guys are going to be able to give them what they want. To me, this is one of those things where when it goes sour the way it did at the end of that year, I'm sorry, you got to win my faith back a little bit now. Branch didn't. All the moves Belichick made last offseason, Murray, I don't know how many times you rattled them off. Between the trades they made for Dwayne Allen, Coney Ealy, Cassius Marsh, Brandon Cooks, did I say him already? Like all of those, as you go through them, Belichick missed on most of them. Then they have the kind of year they had. They trade Garoppolo. There's infighting on some level. Gronk is holding out. Brady says he's got to go pick his kids up at school now. Like, that whole thing's going on. All of a sudden, they pick up Danny Shelton, and I'm supposed to say, great, awesome, everything's good, no problem. They get Danny Shelton, Jason McCourty, I'm good. Woo! Here we go! Yeah! Danny Shelton! The elixir! You know, like, all of a sudden, it all gets fixed. No way! You got to do a hell of a lot more than that to win me back. No way.
Yeah, Maz doesn't even like them when they're good.
Tugger and Maz. The Sports Hub. This is Felger and Mass.
I'm a sports dork now.
That guy is a hack.
Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Belichick has preached for years. Winning the Super Bowl and winning a game, do your job. Nothing personal. It's always... And this Malcolm Butler decision to bench him, there's every player in that locker room was like, well, that wasn't a football decision, man. That wasn't the best decision for us to win that game. And so he broke the trust. And when you're Tom Brady at 40, when you're Rob Gronkowski, given all the injuries he's gone through, when you're making those kind of sacrifices to play this game, and the coach is telling you it's all about the Super Bowl, it's all about what's doing right to win, and then all of a sudden you catch him in a lie, and then you never look at him the same way again. Belichick sets the tone, sets the rules, ask everyone to buy in, and he broke the trust.
I think he's going at it wrong. In that, I think the whole thing of Bill having to buy back the locker room after the Butler decision is overblown. I think he'll get... I 99 times out of 100, the players only care about, are you paying me? Are you playing me? And do we have a chance to win? That's really it. And especially when you've won five already, like what, the locker room's going to turn on Bill because he made one bad call? Or, you know, just made a bad call. It's not one, but, you know, I think that's overblown. And I certainly don't think Brady and Gronkowski are off the reservation because of Malcolm Butler. I don't think they're off. Do you think Brady and Gronkowski are off the reservation because of Malcolm Butler?
No.
No.
They're off the reservation.
Not singularly, no.
Alex Guerrero, their contracts, the way Bill treats them. I think Brady and Gronkowski have gotten a little entitled in their superstardom. I think Belichick's gotten more, he has changed. You know, I've sort of come around on that. He's gotten a little more megalomaniacal. Yeah, there you go. Tough's boy. Like all of, so I think that's what's going on. The whole Brady Gronk Bill thing predated the Super Bowl by a good distance. So the Malcolm Butler situation, he will have to address, and it's a little bump. It's a speed bump, but he's going to have to get over it. I'm not telling you it's a zero. But the far bigger issue is Guerrero and Brady's contract and TB12 and Gronkowski. How come I don't get the same consideration Brady does and I want my money and like that? That's, to me, a much bigger issue.
Yeah, Butler opens the door for it all, though.
He does.
Right, because if Bill wins the game...
He says, shut up, I want another one.
Bingo. Right? I mean, it is the ultimate trump card. Shut up, I sat him, we won. What are you bitching about? Isn't that what we're trying to do? We're trying to win. So what are you bitching about? Shut up, play, I'll make those decisions and we're good. Except that when it blows up in his face, now they can point to all the other stuff and they can say, you know, you say certain things, but you don't live them out. You don't act them out. You think you always doing what's best for the team. Well, that was stupid. And now you cost us. And you know what? While we're on the topic, I've never liked the Guerrero thing from the beginning. Right? Like, it opens the door. Look, there's a reason that teams who lose the Super Bowl have problems. Because I think that loss opens up all kinds of crap that festers along the way.
And those two players, obviously, I'm sorry, say to Bill, like, what would this game have been without us? How ugly would this have been with your defense and that they can't get off the field? Yeah, those are our teammates, but you decide to also sit Malcolm? Tom could say to him, if you didn't have me, we would have lost this game by like 40 or 50. So we're just as important as you, Bill. Treat us the right way.
Okay, so we have that. We have the Patriots actually improved. We've got the Brady stuff and what he's trying to pull here in his comments and the comments of Gautam Chopra, his documentarian, the last week or so about juggling family and year to year. Chopra keeps saying Brady's really more on a year to year thing right now. Won't make it to 45. Year to year. So he's trying to pull something there. We start with Celtics and the Kyrie Irving injury in the game last night. All of it's on the table with your calls. We've given away the wrestling tickets. You can stop calling us on that. You want to call us on sports? Those lines are open. Joe and Rozzy on Tom Brady. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, listen, if you guys are getting probation from the hot take police, I'm going to get the electric chair with a dry sponge for this one. Listen, There's my theory on why Brady's acting the way he's been acting lately. I think he's mad at the contract Garoppolo got, and I think he looks at the kid, and he's saying to himself, this kid hasn't been in the league long enough to get his first concussion. He's been sniffing my asparagus pea-smelling jockstrap for the last couple of years. I get him 2 Super Bowl rings. He goes out, wins 6 games, and gets his contract in NFL history. And here's some little high school drama for you guys. I know you guys don't know what Instagram is because you're a couple old chunks of coal, but our boy Brady unfollowed Jimmy G on the gram. So I don't know what that tells you, but tells me that he sees this guy's handsome face and he throws up in his lap every time he sees him because he's so jealous of him.
He doesn't look at his pretty rich little face. The Brady v. Garoppolo thing, I don't really care about. Certainly not anymore. And since they're not teammates, and so Brady was competitive with the kid when he was here, that makes sense. Like, it was fun while it lasted, but, you know, that's not my issue anymore. So he unfollowed on the gram. Big deal. The contract thing is, it usually comes down to money, right? So, and Maz has pointed this out many, many times. I mean, finally, after 18 years, has Brady finally said, you know what, I'm not just going to take the cheese this time. You're going to have to pay me because, by the way, you've played hardball with me and my trainer and the things that I want. So if I'm not going to get satisfaction on what I consider little things like that, then this time you're actually going to have to pay me.
I mean, I can't come to any other conclusion than Brady's, you know, he's going to force their hand a little bit on this one.
And for that, I wouldn't blame him. And it's not just Garoppolo's contract. Look at the money that's being thrown around for some of these absolute bums so far this offseason. Case Keenum, I think, gets $36 million and 25 of it's guaranteed. Sam Bradford gets that one-year deal that's $20 million in Arizona. He's got to look around and be like, what, these guys are getting that kind of money?
Cousins. And even Breeze, who's, you know, a peer of Brady's and going to be 40 years old, right, or thereabouts, 2 years, $50 million.
Let's get some embargoed information. Andy and Easton, Pro Football Focus rankings on the cornerbacks. Is Jason McCourty actually an upgrade, according to the nerds, over Malcolm Butler?
Yeah, Maz, I got you covered out here. Gilmore is seventh in the league. And, for instance, Eric Rose, 97th out of 105. That's not good. Jason McCourty.
Okay, and you call me on a crappy phone. So that just bugged me. People emailed, tweeted in. What's the information? Give it to us on a clear microphone, please.
Okay, so our buddy Greg Bedard sent me the info. McCourty, according to Pro Football Focus.
Jason McCourty,
correct. According to Pro Football Focus, ranked 17th in the league among cornerbacks. Jason McCourty was 17th. Stephon Gilmore was 31st. Butler was 48th.
Huh. So according to the nerds, We're getting a better player, not only a better player than Malcolm Butler, but a better player than Stephon Gilmore.
Correct, according to the nerds. Emphasize nerds.
And that was just last year. Next level nerds, I'd like to look at the last 3 years. Can you give me a last 3 year sample? So give me a broader sample. Over the last 3 years, rank Jason McCourty versus Malcolm Butler. I mean, to me, I have no idea about Jason McCourty.
I don't either.
I mean, I knew he was a good player in Tennessee, certainly. Followed him there. But since then, I've sort of lost the string on Jason McCourty.
Well, see, so that's my point. It's like now it's been 2 years. You know, Tennessee let him go. He played at Tennessee and Cleveland the last 2 years. And Cleveland gave him a 2-year contract for $6 million. I mean, that's like backup corner money almost.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And I think this is a really important moment. Let's play the tape, Sam. Tom versus Time.
These last 2 years have been very challenging for him in so many ways. And I think he just wants, you know, he tells me, I love it so much, and I just want to go to work and feel appreciated and have fun.
Okay, feel appreciated, i.e., he doesn't feel appreciated. Your wife knows the truth. Can we confirm there are times Tom doesn't feel appreciated?
Oh, for sure. I think the last 2 seasons have been really trying for him on and off the field. And I think there's an intensity. That was filmed, you know, 5 days after the Super Bowl. So they're still very much in the, you know, aftermath of a grueling, grueling season, physically, mentally, emotionally. And so, I think, you know, Tom just, you know, there's a part of him that just, he needs to find, he says at the end of that, you got to find your conviction. And if you don't have it, you know, maybe it's time to move on. And I think he's finding his conviction.
What is he trying to pull with this? Either he really feels this way, which is give me a break, or
He's just trying to leverage the team with something. He's playing a game here with the team.
So I think it's a leverage play again. And to me, the big thing is he hasn't redone his deal yet. If you're going to redo that deal, you have to do it before free agency. That's where the Patriots get benefit because the players are available then. Not that they're all gone, but the good ones are gone anyway. So Brady didn't do it. He didn't give them the flexibility they needed this time. Even if he renegotiates later, he still screwed them. I mean, they needed the flexibility earlier rather than later.
I just don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear it after they traded Garoppolo. You're all in for year. You're all in for the 4 years Garoppolo's here. You're all in. I'm playing to 45. I've got all the answers. This has come easy to me. I've given up my life. Will you give up yours? You're all in. Then they trade the understudy, and all of a sudden, you must feel happy and appreciated. And you got to, you know, ask yourself, you know, you find your conviction, and are you doing the right things? And like, no, I don't want to hear that. That's no. If that's the way you really feel, and you were just hiding it from us, then I would have kept Garoppolo and traded your ass and let the next team deal with your life decisions at 40. We're not dealing with your life decisions at 40. That's why we traded the kid. So we get the 3 years of Tom Brady fully loaded, full TB12 method, man, where you're giving up, where you're sacrificing your personal life and you're all in and you're not worried about all these other things that you're now chirping about. You're just going out and playing football because that's all you care about. So, like, anything short of that would frustrate me if I'm the Patriots. That's just one of our Patriots thoughts today. Adam in Brockton. Go ahead, Adam. And again, that was Gotham Chopra yesterday. Gotham Chopra's documentarian is still on this, so he was on Colin Coward yesterday. Go ahead, Adam.
Larry Bird isn't walking through that door. Kevin McHale isn't walking through that door. Robert Parrish isn't walking through that door. And if they do, they're going to be old and gray. That's one of the best lines in Boston sports history, said by the biggest fraud in Boston sports history. Now, let's rewind to the end of the Tuesday edition of the Felger and Mass program. Usually they say that you save the best for the last. Well, on yesterday's show, you clearly saved the worst for last with my brother's phone call, who's one of the biggest frauds in Boston sports radio. So like most of my brother's calls, yesterday he rambled, made zero sense, and of course makes his usual mistake by giving wrong information. Okay, I don't know if you guys remember, but during the Derek Jeter retirement tour, during the All-Star game, they grooved the fastball right down the middle so he could hit it out of the park.
That's right.
Bobby did that for you guys yesterday, and you whiffed. Go back and listen to the tape. He makes a bozo comment, okay, during his pointless waste of a phone call yesterday. He's ranting about Damian and Amendola and says, oh, it doesn't matter if Amendola leaves because, quote, Wes Welker is coming back. Bobby, I can firmly say Wes Welker isn't walking to that door. And if he is, he will probably be on Molly and concussed. And Felger, can I make a quick point to you about something that you're dead wrong about?
Go ahead.
The Vegas Golden Knights, okay, while they are legit, and while they won't have a big advantage like they have during the regular season, they won't have that advantage in the playoffs, you got to understand they're a matchup nightmare. They don't have the traditional 1-2-3-4 lines. All four lines that they roll out are number two lines, so they're an absolute matchup problem. I've watched about 20 games. They're legit.
All right, I need to see more. I need to see teams not come in. They're all hammered after being in the strip clubs and the casinos all night long, which in the playoffs I don't think they'll do, but you never know with these pro athletes. I think Vegas has benefited greatly, greatly from being in Vegas. And all these teams saving the boys' night out for that trip. And they come out the next night with just, I mean, that Bruins, so look, that's what I think has happened with Vegas. I think they're good. I don't think they're a Stanley Cup favorite. And
there's been big columns already written about it. The Vegas flu is a real thing.
No question.
That home ice advantage is real because everyone goes out and parties the night before the game.
No question.
That is so awesome. Seriously, that is so awesome.
Scott in Weymouth. Go ahead, Scott.
What's up, guys? Oh, my God. Felger, while I was on hold, I have 39 points, but I'm going to guess I've got about 2 points that you'll allow me to talk about.
Two.
I won't even talk about Brady for a minute. I'm tired of him. I don't want to say tired of him, but it's like talk the crap behind closed doors or shut up or retire. I don't care. But hockey, my whole call has just changed with the Vegas Knights. Can I change on the phone?
Go ahead. Just cut. Yes.
Las Vegas Knights, yes, they do have that home ice advantage, meaning imagine being 24 years old flying in Vegas on a Friday night to play a hockey game.
Yeah.
Of course. But listen, when the playoffs come, that stuff isn't going to fly.
That's what I'm talking about.
They're going out in the first round.
Agreed.
I told you the other day, Mike, I said Minnesota Wild is your Stanley Cup winner. Why? They are playoff tested. They're starving. And they're going to get it done. Here's the real point of my call. Like I said, while I was on hold, the topic changes very fluidly. The NFL catch rule and the NHL goalie interference rule. I don't know which one's more annoying. And the offsides rule in hockey. I'm not kidding you. I'm ready to write the NHL. It's out of control.
Well, the offsides have gotten better since they, you know, charge you a timeout or
a penalty
if you lose the challenge. I feel like the offsides thing has almost gone off the table. I've seen so few of them. So few of them. The goal interference, yeah, get ready for it. There's going to be big disputed goals on goal interference in the playoffs due to replay. Just hope it doesn't pork you royally, that it just porks you a little.
So they just recently had some meetings, I think, where they looked into changing the offside language, though, and they didn't change it. They kept it the same way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's been a problem this year. The catch rule. According to Al Riveron, they have now come up with the exact language that they're going to present the owners that is usually rubber-stamped and passed. So, competition committee recommends on the catch rule, one, control, meaning you catch the ball, firmly control, 2 feet down or another body part. So, again, one hand equals 2 feet, one elbow equals 2 feet, one knee equals 2 feet. So, you have to control the ball, 2 feet down or another body part down, and you have to make a football move such as, one, a third step, two, reaching, extending for the line to gain, three, or the ability to perform such an act. What the hell does number three mean?
No idea.
The ability to perform such an act. So
maybe that you had the capacity at that point to reach for the goal line, but you didn't. But and then the ball came loose, and it's a fumble.
No, complete. According to them.
No. I meant the ball came out, so it's not incomplete. It's a fumble.
So look, a control 2 feet down, and then a football move. A football move is defined as the third step, but they'll give it to you if you had the ability to make the third step, even though you didn't. So what does that mean?
No
this is
idea.
The part that's so confusing.
Just play that out for me. Like practically work that out.
No
me.
Idea.
Let's flush that out. What does that mean? So you don't make the third step, but you had the ability to do so.
Right.
Then why wouldn't you have done it? Were you just dangling your foot in the air to do it? Like, what are you doing?
You got hit.
You hopped.
You got hit, well, but you didn't.
That would mean you didn't have the ability to do it.
Didn't have the ability to do it. Very good. You didn't have the ability to do it. So what does that mean?
I don't know.
And I'm telling you, they've made it worse. The more I think of it, the more I like the catch rule the way that it is.
I'm just telling you, you're getting a debate no matter what. And Blandino, apparently, Dean Blandino tweeted about this. Not that he, you know, he's doing media now, as you know, and he said, you're just shifting the debate now. You're shifting it from, was he going to the ground and did he hold on to the ball, to, did he make a football move? And he's right. The focal point of the discussion changes, but you're still having a discussion about it.
But see, I think there wasn't much of a discussion before. I thought it was pretty clear. Now, the refs didn't call it clearly. There were missed calls, but the way it was defined as football move, go to the ground, maintain control of the ball throughout the whole thing, or else it's not a catch. I'm fine with that.
Okay, so again, I would say define control of the ball.
Especially the part of reaching for the goal line. If you're going to extend the ball, you are responsible for what happens to the ball. You've got to maintain control of it. So, like, I don't want the Jesse James thing to be a touchdown. In fact, as I go back through all of the controversial plays from last year, I agree with ultimately all the calls except for one, and that was the Eagles Super Bowl. That should have been incomplete. He did not have control of the ball as he went out of bounds, Clement. That should have been incomplete. But I think the Jesse James thing should have been incomplete. I think that the Dez Bryant thing should be incomplete. If you're going to go to the ground and extend the ball, you have to maintain control. It can't bobble around. You can't come loose. That's why I want the rule to read. And I want the rule to read. It's the strictest definition. 2 feet, control, go to the ground, football move. If it comes loose at any point, no catch.
Okay, so again, define control of the ball, though. So if Jesse James hits the ground and the ball...
Yeah, no. So, I mean, you're never going to have zero judgment, but I think that the way they've done it is the least amount of judgment.
Okay. So, because I just think that whole control the ball thing is a gray area.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, you can't get it. There's no way to get it totally black and white. I think what they had was as close as you're going to get, though. I do.
But by adding, so I completely disagree. I liked all those, well, I mean, the Corey Clement should be a touchdown. All those other ones, they shouldn't have been. It's as simple as common sense, and I want replay in real time. I'm not going to get that. No slow motion. Real-time replays if you want to look at a play, and that's it. Just use common sense. Looks like a catch, it's a catch. But by adding this verbiage, the ability to perform such an act, like they are going to continue to screw this whole
like,
thing
what
up.
Does that mean?
No one can explain that to me. The ability to perform such an act.
Oh, so, I have the ability to perform such an act.
Yeah. I mean, again,
it's just not catching a football.
Control 2 feet and then a football move. And a football move will be defined as a third step, reaching or extending for the line to gain, or the ability to perform such an act. But if you didn't do it, how did you have the ability? What? And who's determining that? And is that going to be on slow-mo replay? Yes.
Yeah.
So please, it's going to be a giant... it's going to be worse. I told you this. I've been telling you this for months. It's going to be worse, not better.
This is Felger and Mazz. On 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Felger and Mazz.
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
So Kyrie, from everything that I was told last, is, you know, that knee has been sore. But he is, you know, he's worked really hard to manage it. And throughout the entire season, and you know, I think you know, he's had some pretty good days recently. So I'm encouraged by it, you know, in the big picture.
The one thing that hasn't changed with this Kyrie Irving injury, I'm told, is that there's no structural damage to that sore left knee, and that they still believe in Boston that the best remedy to get him better and back will be rest.
Boston, to me, is a team that I thought would be in the Eastern Conference Finals, but without Kyrie Irving. I mean, we look at their heroics and what have you, and they've got no chance as far as I'm concerned. They'll be, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not giving them any shot to get to the conference finals without Kyrie Irving. They need him, and they need him bad.
So the Kyrie Irving situation broken here first by Tony Maserati yesterday. Anything new today, Maz?
No, not that I'm aware of. No, but I think he, you know, he could be seeing, the way I had heard it is it could be as soon as today that he would go get a second opinion. I haven't heard anything definitive that that happened or did not happen.
And it's possible the opinion could be get the screws out, which would mean season over.
Correct. Yeah, if they have to take those screws out, because you think about it, it makes sense, right? His kneecap or screwed together, they take the screws out, what's going to be left? A hole. Like, you know, just no way around that, and then you got to let the thing heal. So he's not going to be able to play again if they do that. I just wonder whether they're in total agreement on what to do. In other words, does Kyrie want to play and the Celtics say no?
So I get the sense. Again,
or the other way around.
Watching last night, just Kyrie Irving on the bench, his body language did not feel to me that of a guy who is prepared to be told today or tomorrow by a doctor that you have to shut it down for the year. He felt engaged. Felt engaged with that team. And if he thought that it was really going to go down, that he could have surgery and he'd be lost for the year, like that was really in the offing, he wouldn't have carried on like he did last night. That's just from a million miles away on my couch.
I mean, you might be right. I will say this about Kyrie, that for a superstar, and that's what he is in that league, he feels like a pretty good team guy. Like, and I think he's been invested in the Celtics from the beginning. It doesn't feel to me like he came in and tried to big time it, or he bought in. He bought into the whole Celtics thing, and I think he wants to play. I just, you know, again, just logically, he wanted to get out from under LeBron's shadow. When are you going to do that? In the spring, in the playoffs. That's the stage. That's when it matters in that league.
Okay, so there's the short term, which I hope he comes back. I hope they go on a run. I still, with him healthy, and if Marcus Smart can come back sometime at least end of the second round, I still think he can go to the NBA Finals. Where it'll be over in five games and you have no shot, but you know, that'd be a hell of a run. That'd be fun. You'll be playing basketball into June. Make for a good spring. I hope he comes back. I hope they go on a run. And I think that's still on the table. But I'm really more interested in the big picture ramifications. And again, Adam Jones, the Dark Knight himself, sucked me into his vortex of negativity last night, sort of talking about this, and it got me thinking. Just, you know, how bullish we are on the Celtics and have been, and we should be. Just the way they've built it and the way it's constructed, it feels like it's all trending towards an eventual championship. But there's another way to look at it, and, you know, of course, leave it to the Dark Knight himself to cast his shadow and get me to think of it this way. But really, your two preeminent superstars currently are coming off of either major reconstructive surgery or have a chronic knee problem. I mean, Kyrie, you know, is coming off of major knee surgery and still has knee problems and has had injury problems his entire career. And Gordon Hayward is coming off a doozy, a completely shattered, you know, vicious ankle injury. Now, they're both in the prime of their careers, but they're both coming off of big injuries. The third current guy of your big three, Al Horford, looks older by the day and looks like he's going to be less worth that max money by the day, it looks like. As for the kids, you know, we always had Brown, Tatum, and a pick coming. Well, the pick isn't really going to mature this year because the Lakers are like in the 12th lottery position, and you've got a 2% chance of, you know, getting a top five pick now this year. That's not really going to happen. So it kicks to next year. We have a much better chance, but now that's waiting another year, and who knows what Sacramento is going to be. And Tatum and Brown. Tatum looks great, and I don't think there's any issue. There's nothing really I could throw shade on. But Jaylen Brown? I mean, as we've discussed, I think Jaylen Brown, it feels to me like he sort of, well, he did not make that big move here in year two that I thought he was going to make.
I mean, at the beginning of the year, he was good.
No, he was. And I
and
still,
I feel like in the middle, it started to go the other way.
I just think on balance, when I look at his game, I don't go, oof, here he comes. He's coming. This guy's ready to break out. Do you?
I did at the beginning of the year.
Really? Like, could be a breakout guy?
Yeah, like the first 20 games or so.
Remember that game against Golden State?
I mean, oh, it was tremendous.
Yeah, that's where it's like, oh, wow. Yeah, we're going to see the leap. And then it's just kind of a flat line.
Okay, so maybe I'm wrong. I'm just telling you in my mind's eye. So if you want to do the sports buzzard thing, the Dark Knight, how do you feel about the future? You know, Kyrie Irving is up after next year. He's got a year plus left on his contract.
Right.
So he's going to want max money, $35 million a year by the time you get there, something like that. Major, major, major money. A guy who's never really been fully healthy, even going back to Duke. Hayward coming off the shattered ankle. Horford will be done by the time, you know, by the time Golden State is ready to not win, Horford, you think, is, you know, is going to be a role player at best. And, you know, Tatum, again, you feel great about, but what is Brown? And the pick is now really in question because the Lakers went out and, you know, got to the top of the lottery standings.
If you're asking me, are they more vulnerable than I thought they were? The answer is yes.
You know, it doesn't...
I'm not ready to bail on anything.
I'm definitely not bailing, and I'm not second-guessing the Irving trade, because I'd make that 10 times out of 10. I'm just telling you, if Brooklyn could end up with a top-five pick, they could. They're you know, they're going to end with a much worse record than L.A. I think they're in the 7 lottery position right now, right around there. So Brooklyn could end up in the top five in a really good top-heavy draft. And, you got Kyrie, who's going to go in under the knife eventually and has never been healthy, and Gordon Hayward coming off this massive injury, and Al Horford seems like he's trending in the wrong direction, and did Jaylen Brown really develop? So it's just a different way to look at it and leave it to the Dark Knight to lead me there. But that's where he took me last night.
And Kyrie's going to be, what, 28 in a couple of years? And I think he'll be all right. Yeah, this will still be a concern. He's never going to play a full season, but you just find a way to manage it, and you hope for the best. I mean, a lot of these superstars are dealing with ailments that they've had since college. I don't worry about it all that much. If anything, that would be a concern going forward is whether or not guys like Brown and Tatum can really make that leap.
I mean, it's something you got to keep an eye on, though. Like, you know, what if next year, somewhere in the middle of the season, Kyrie's got another knee issue and Hayward can't, you know. And look, I'm painting a dire scenario.
No, but I don't think these are unrealistic scenarios.
But the point is that, like, you know, if next year the same thing happens, I think you start saying, well, is this ever going to work?
Michael Felger.